Welcome to another week of the official Elite League podcast. There's plenty to look back on and plenty to look forward to as ever. But let's get straight into it. Welcome, Seth Bennett, as ever. Seth, let's start with the Dundee Stars at the moment, because a funny little side, you know, that they're getting some results, which you're thinking they're doing well. Then they seem to be letting themselves down. They've had overtime problems this year. Ironically, if it goes to a shootout, you look at the stats, they've won twice, including one in Nottingham. But if they go to overtime, lost four of five this season, including their last three. What are your thoughts on the Stars at the moment, Seth?
Well, first of all, they've got enough scoring to get results against absolutely anybody in the Elite League, which is fantastic because it means they're in every single game. They're causing big problems for teams like Sheffield, for teams like Belfast. And they seem to be able to, number one, score plenty, but number two, get the other teams out of their game, stopping them playing maybe a more defensive-minded brand of hockey that would see the 2-1, 3-1 score lines. And it ends up being, you know, like these 6-alls, you know, 5-4 kind of games. And they really seem to suit Dundee. Frustrating, I think, for them this weekend, though, and for Mark Lefebvre, because he knows that had they been able to convert on, you know, even half of the overtime games that they've played, then the story would feel very different for them. I think you've got to tip your hat to what he's done up there. He's made a difference, hasn't he? Last year, they were a franchise that seemed to almost zombie their way through the season. They just really didn't ever hit the ground running and build on the success they'd had previously. And I think that Mark has managed to breathe a new life. He's recruited very well. And what you've probably got to say about Mark Lefebvre, his recruitment's good, isn't it? You know, you look at what he recruited in Coventry and the majority of that squad is what won the playoff title. And you look again, he's recruited really well with, you know, a limited budget in Dundee to get a team that's, you know, competitive on the ice.
So to the Manchester Storm, Seth. They've not had the best of starts by any means, but a club that was put together in the time that they were, it's remarkable that they even got going. So all credit to them. But they got a four-point weekend last weekend, and obviously two standout results. The one at home, which was great, but then in particular, they went into Coventry 1 and got themselves a playoff a Challenge Cup quarter-final place in the process and knocked Coventry out.
Well, the biggest side of this, though, Chris, is the story behind the story, and that's the fact that, you know, on Saturday afternoon, Manchester didn't know how many players that they would have fit and healthy. They were all ill, one way or another. They had a virus that ran through the camp that left them either throwing up or sitting down on the toilet. One end or the other, there was fluid coming out, and, you know, they lost players. Scarsella didn't feature for them, but, you know, the majority of the players on that team were playing at about 50% or 60%. How the Manchester side are capable of doing stuff, you know, it's fantastic, really.
Absolutely. Well, one of their standout players over the weekend was Zane Klemba, their netminder. And this week you caught up with him, Seth.
Zane, first of all, when you look back to last weekend, how important do you think it was within the bigger context of the season for the Storm?
Yeah, I think just those getting those two wins back to back, you know, really starting to get the guys gelling together, and you know, it's been a rough couple first 3-4 weeks. I know we had a good weekend the first weekend, but really after that we just kind of struggled to put everything together. We had pieces of our game that were great, but not all 60 minutes and not all the parts of our game kind of came together.
How difficult has it been as a period of adjustment, not just for you, but for everybody within this franchise? Because it's all new, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's tough because you got really nothing to compare it to. It's a new organization, and you know, just the little things that the guys are getting used to day in and day out coming to the rink, and you know, just getting used to the size of the rink and the size of the arenas we're playing on the road, and the travel. You know, could be a bit difficult for some of the guys. So yeah, just you know, good things take time, and I think it was great for us to get those two wins.
So you're the player of the week. Was that your best weekend in a Storm jersey?
Yeah, I think so, just based on wins alone. You know, as an athlete and as a hockey player, you kind of measure yourself on wins, and you know, the rest of the stats, you know, they don't really matter. If you get the wins, usually the rest of the stats will take care of themselves. So I think just as a team, that was our best weekend so far.
Has it taken a bit of time to get used to the league and as a goalie? Because I suppose you don't know any of the shooters out there pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, coming from Denmark last year and Slovakia the year before that, the British League is a bit more North American style. There's a lot of imports. This is the league with the most percentage of imports in Europe. So I think, you know, there's a little bit of a learning curve for everybody. But, you know, 20 games in the season, I think now it's I guess a third of the season's gone. It's time to start getting the wins.
You look at this weekend and it's another big one, isn't it? Another important one with a couple of really tough fixtures.
Yeah, Saturday in Cardiff. That's actually one of the first games we had this year in Cardiff. It's a great atmosphere. You know, it's really exciting to play there. It's going to be a tough battle. They're one of the toughest teams, I think, to beat on the road in the league. And it's another great challenge for us.
So Seth there speaking to Zane Klember. In a moment, we're going to have a word with the head of officials, Simon Kirkham. He's got an enviable job, really, because obviously he has to keep track of a load of officials, a lot of them coming for criticism, such as the nature of the beast. That is just the way sport is. It doesn't matter which league you're in the world and which sport it's going to happen. But Seth, you know, you look at our officials and you and I see the social media. They get criticism after every game, but I'm sure the same if you're looking at the Premier League Twitter or the NHL Twitter or the NFL Twitter or something like that. But, you know, you look each year at the IIHF announcements, and especially this year, there's 14-odd going away. They are held in high regard, aren't they, by the IIHF?
Yeah, they seem to be held in high regard by everybody but those involved in the game over here, whether in the stands or seemingly on the benches. And you know what my view on this is, Chris, is that the easiest thing to do is to look at a referee and point and say, you've made a mistake. Be that with a highlights package where you can show in replay the mistake that was made. You know, these guys have one chance to make the decision. I try and flip it round the other way now. When I'm commentating on a game, I try and ask the question, why did he make that call? Was he given a reason that he could make that call? And I think that one of the things that we all do, you know, commentators, coaches, fans, we all look to alleviate the blame from the players. But you know what? Sometimes players have to take their share of the blame. I.e., you know, they make a mistake on the ice and they go, they've got two decisions. Do you make a hit? Do you not make a hit? Do you decide to two-hand a guy? Do you not decide to two-hand a guy? You know, Joey Martin, does he throw the water bottle? Does he not throw the water bottle this past weekend? He decides that's what he's going to do. Well, you know, he then has to take the medicine. The referee can only call the penalties that come within the game. And if you're doing absolutely nothing wrong, well, then you're probably not going to get called. Occasionally, you know, the referee will think that you've stuck a guy in the face, but it turns out it was his own teammate, or, you know, that maybe you tripped somebody, but it turned out the guy fell over. There will be mistakes, there's no doubt about that. But 9 times out of 10, a referee makes a call, there is a reason why he's made it. There's a basis for him calling the penalty. Some may feel it's soft, some may feel it's the right call. But the players have got to be quite smart, I think. And that's kind of my big bugbear. This week, though, I sat down with Simon Kirkham, the head of referees, and I wanted to talk to him. One of the big questions, Chris, we get asked all the time is, what's being done to police the referees and what's being done to develop the referees? Well, the man in charge is Simon Kirkham, and he explained a little bit more about the process.
What we brought in place, we brought more referees in, as hopefully the fans and the players can see that we've got more referees this year. So we've got a bigger choice of referees to use in the games. Hopefully with the experience, they'll become better referees, and you'll see, you know, hopefully the standards rising. I haven't had the complaints this year that I've seen previously years, which is, touch wood, hopefully carries on. These guys, every summer now we have a camp. The one next year is going to be 4 days long. I've got hopefully USA Hockey involved, and also we're going to get the NHL involved if we can. So we're getting the experience from outside to come in and help us to improve the refereeing standard. Most of these guys can skate well. Most of these guys know all the rules. And so the rule knowledge is improving, and it's then how to put that onto the ice. And I think with what's happening going forward, it'd be get better and better.
Is it a lot about game management? Is that a lot of what you're trying to do for the officials?
Yes, it is. And we also, I have a supervisor in Scotland. So we're trying to get everybody on the same page. It's very difficult. We're trying to get the consistency of the calls the same and the standard of the calls the same. Sometimes depend on the game, you know, how the players want to play the game. So that can have an effect as well. But we're trying to make everything and also the referees more
accountable.
Yes, more accountable for what they're doing, and all of them are taking that on board and going with that.
Should a referee make a massive mistake, we see in football, they get dropped from fixtures, they get sent down to the Championship or League One for a couple of weeks. Could we see that kind of scenario within the Elite League?
Yes, we can, because we are now working closely with the EIHA, which is England, and the SIHA, which is Scotland, and we have that process in place, that the guys, if they are not calling to the standard that they're expected and not performing to the standard with fitness-wise, we can take them down. And they all end up doing lower division games if they're available, because both of us are working 4 or 5 weeks in front with our fixtures. So
yeah, and is that kind of one of the problems actually? Because you have to work 4 or 5 weeks in front. It's not as easy as saying he had a bad game last week. You immediately can take a sanction.
Yeah, that's the only problem we have. But we can do that. We have the flexibility within inside the system to be able to do that, and enough people to be able to move that around if we feel that that's warranted.
Has that happened this year?
Not yet, no.
No. How do you explain a situation, again going back to Belfast, we're not just going to talk about them, but they say that they've had one official an awful lot so far this season, in Dean Smith. Is there a good reason for that?
Well, the actual figures themselves dispute that, because that's not actually happened.
Yeah.
They haven't had Dean straight 10 games or how many games. They may have had him 3 or 4 games, but not many as many games as you think. And we tried to move the referees round. But unfortunately, with Belfast being where it is, it's actually getting people who are available to go to Belfast to do the games. Now, that's the only drawback that we have with allocating people.
So, for example, you may want to choose 3 or 4 different referees to go there, but if their schedules don't allow, you get to 5, 6, 7 on the list. And I'm not saying it's 7 because of ability, but 7 maybe because this guy was there last week.
That can happen. Yeah. And unfortunately, it does happen because, as you rightly said, it's their availability and whether they have the time, one-off work, and also the time in their schedule to be able to go to Belfast through the games.
It's an important point, that, isn't it? That these guys aren't professionals. They're not paid the kind of money where this is their job day in, day out.
No, this is just their recreational. But they do take it very professionally, I must admit.
Yeah.
And it always has been, as long as I've been involved in the sport in the UK. Everybody I know that works full-time and does this as a weekend come... games during the week, so this is their secondary job, as you would call it.
How do you see the future of British referees? They've had great recognition, haven't they, by the IIHF. Certainly next summer at the World Championships there's going to be an awful lot of British referees that are going to be working at one level or another.
Yeah, we really punch above our weight in regards to getting allocated IHF officials. We've got 10 or 11 going out this year, which I'm really pleased about. And I can already see that in the new crop of officials I've got coming in this year to the Elite League, that's going to increase to more people, because I can see the qualities there and what the IHF are looking for within their officiating standard.
So why is it there seems to be a perception that the British referees aren't good enough, if you like? Because there is that perception amongst some fans.
I don't think you'll ever get rid of that, because if you go to any country, you're always going to get that the referees aren't good enough and the standard isn't good enough. But it's something that we've got to work to and work with the fans to make them understand. And hopefully we will in the coming weeks or months, work with the fans to try and get them to understand how and why and what the officials do on the ice. So it's something that we need to work towards, really.
And experiences of the last 7 days or so, does that just make the job that little bit more difficult for you?
I think with 20 years of experience refereeing on the ice, I get used to it. But it does make it, you know, there is a bit of, you know, kind of, you know, why am I doing this? But I have thick skin and broad shoulders, so I can take it. But it does make you wonder sometimes what you're doing it for.
And what about those that you look after? Are they equally as rhino-skinned?
Yes, I think if you talk to any of us, we are all rhino skinned. You have to be, otherwise you wouldn't do the job.
Fascinating interview there, Seth, with Simon Kirkham. Really enlightening and really gets to the bottom of how the officials are run and what his plans are for the future. In very safe hands in Simon Kirkham. He was a very good referee in his day, one of the best in the UK. You can see that now while he's going up the IIHF chain and he's working for the IIHF at tournaments, and now he's using that expertise with the UK officials. Just before we go, Seth, we'll look at the fixtures, and I'll ask as ever which ones stand out. Saturday's games, Brayhead play Coventry, Cardiff, Manchester. There's a top-of-the-table clash at the National Ice Centre, Nottingham against Belfast, Sheffield against Dundee, and then Fife play Edinburgh. On Sunday, it's Manchester, Belfast, Coventry play Cardiff, Edinburgh against Sheffield, and then Dundee playing Fife. What are your stands out there, Seth?
I think they're both on Saturday night, aren't they? There's the one at the NIC between the top two in the league. It's been such a home-dominated league so far, hasn't it? Away wins have been hard to come by. Should Belfast get a result there, then, you know, they will be looking very, very good. Nottingham, I think they've been slightly weighted, haven't they, in terms of home games versus away games this year. No away game for them again this weekend. I think it's the second successive Sunday night where they've not been playing, which will be a source of frustration because you have to fit those games in somewhere further down the line. So definitely that game, I think it's going to be intriguing to see how the two sides are going to react to that. You know, Belfast, they've not been really up and down, but I think their levels of performance have gone from being really, really high to maybe not being as good and then finding enough goals to be able to win games. So I think that's going to be an absolute cracker. And then I think you look at the other side of things. Does it get much better than Fife Edinburgh? It's going to be screened live on the telly as well. You know, two teams who are pretty similar right now, and two teams that, one that's kind of caught fire last weekend in Fife, the other one, Edinburgh, who were called off really on a road trip that started in Nottingham, then went down to Coventry, and then went to Manchester, and they were pretty tired and beat up. They're going to have no Paul Zanet for Saturday night either. He's away with the Italian national team. He is, though, doing everything he can to get back to face Sheffield. I think he's going to fly back early from camp to try and make sure he can play that game. So I think he played games Thursday, Friday, then he's going to fly back Saturday, something like that, and then Sunday he's hoping to play again. So it's going to be a massive, massive test of his physical endurance if he can do that. He's a key player, though, Chris. We've all talked about Ryan Hayes. Zanet is the glue that holds that first line together, and he makes an awful lot of space out there for Hayes to be able to do his thing. So, you know, I think that don't underplay the fact he's going to be missing on Saturday night. Should be a really good game. Great atmosphere as well. For those games. And, you know, what's it going to come down to? Will it be a battle of the two goaltenders? Because if it is, I think that maybe Edinburgh will hold the edge on that one. The flip side of that is, you know, Fife have just found this little bit of form, haven't they? They've locked down a bit defensively last weekend, and they've just started to produce themselves a couple of results that will really get the confidence flowing.
Just a stat for you on Nottingham, Seth. 11 of their next 15 games are away from home. And that includes two coming up now, Belfast at home this weekend and then Coventry at home the following weekend. So that means 11 of 13 games in a row for Nottingham are away from home. They've got some double headers in Belfast and some Scotland triple headers to come. Thanks a lot, Seth, as ever. Great to catch up. Great to chew over the fat. As I always say, if you can, of course, get to a game, go to a game live this weekend. Tickets all on the new Elite League website, which went live this week, which you hope you're liking. And of course, the podcasts as well are there. You'll find everything there. And the webcasts, the live webcasts for games. Many clubs do webcasts. If you can't get to a game, watch one on a webcast. All at www.eliteleague.co.uk. But for now, we'll say see you next week and have a good week.